Good morning, Stan.
And congratulations, because you've earned some recognition for this. You're a finalist in the 2012 River Management Young Achievers Award.
That's correct, but I only just meet the criteria being 35. Apparently that's the... When I tick over to 36, I wouldn't be eligible, so I just sneak in.
Mark, my friend, you're way ahead of me. This is something I could never even qualify for in my deepest dream. So remind us, what have you been doing at Piccaninny?
Well, I guess as well as having an age criteria, the awards recognise people who have worked on an environmental project related to wetlands and waterways that they completed last year. And as I left my previous work with the state government at the end of last year, I guess that wrapped up an over decade long involvement in what's unfolded down at Piccaninny Ponds and Pick Swamp, a project that I initiated over 10 years ago, I guess developed the vision for what subsequently happened. But, you know, I guess in some ways this is a little bit uncomfortable because, of course, something like this doesn't happen as a result of one person. I might have been there.
Oh, there's no argument there.
There at the start.
It's good of you to acknowledge that, and that's fully understood. However, it's been a decade of your life devoted to this.
That is true, yeah, and certainly been some ups and downs. There were times when we thought, you know, things may have not gone in the way they have, which has been very positive down there. The Pick Swamp property in particular, I guess the thing that makes me really proud to have been part of that is to see the positive impact that's had on the community volunteers that spend a lot of time working in the environment.
Exactly,
because it's
yes.
given such a fantastic focal point for people to rally around, be involved in planting days. You know, Steve Clark, who still works on the project down there and who I, you know, helped recruit several years ago to come and work in our region, just done such a great job at rallying people around what's going on down there. And obviously, you know, it wouldn't be what it is without the water either. And there's something really special about watching nature do what it does best when, you know, a wetland that had been drained, the water returned, and all that life just came back from out of nowhere.
One of the I would imagine the frustrating things is now 10 years is a long time for us, we humans.
It is, yes.
It's only half an hour in nature's terms, isn't it? But what you do today, you're going to have to wait. And this would be, I would think from my perspective, I'm in an industry that things happen just like that. You do something today, you want a result immediately. You're not going to get that in your business.
No, nature's, you've got to be a bit more patient. I suppose one of the reasons why wetland restoration is as positive as it is because it's probably the closest thing you get to much more instant rewards. It depends on the site, of course, but down there, a spring-fed system, the minute the drains were backfilled, you know, we had water even before the rainy season had hit. The first winter, there was already water starting to percolate out across
you could see it that quickly.
Because it's such a reliable place for water to you know, to appear down there. So,
yes.
You know, not all wetlands would recover quite as you know, dramatically and quickly as that particular site, but it does give you hope that, you know, wetlands can, and this is certainly the case inland where we've had a string of dry years and then we have a couple of years like we had over the last couple of years. And, you know, wetlands are really designed for this sort of boom-bust cycles and nature can really bounce back and
yeah, and,
in a short
and you've got the
time.
Evidence of your eyes too, haven't you? You would see the return of fish life, no doubt, and bird life.
That's right. And, in fact, Pick Swamp is now probably the most important site for one of our nationally threatened fish in the region, the dwarf Galaxias, a tiny little fish that typically occurs in seasonal to semi-permanent wetlands. And because we've lost a lot of those across the region, they've been in decline. But that's a site where we've actually reversed the trend and they're now doing really well down
what
there.
What eats a dwarf Galaxias?
Oh, I think, you know, waterfowl and various
because
other things.
Because that's its claim to fame. It's part of the food chain,
exactly,
isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. And it doesn't really matter where you are in that food chain. You know, you can, if the factors that you need to be right to survive in an ecosystem aren't right, then of course you can become threatened even if you are still food for something else.
Yeah, exactly. We've all got our role to play, Mark. Now, you will be presenting or making a presentation at a conference coming up?
That's right. The 15th International River Symposium is being held the week starting the 8th of October, and I present on the 8th and of the three finalists, you know, one of us will find out the following night at their dinner who the winner is. So,
well, the fact that you're a finalist, I always say, makes you a winner anyway.
I'm rapt to be going along, and it gives me a great chance to talk about, obviously, Nature Glenelg Trust, our new not-for-profit organisation to new people, people from overseas, and obviously we're working to restore wetlands in the region now too, if people would like to get in touch with us. So,
congratulations once again, and we'll talk again.
Thank you very much, Dan.
Mark Backman, the manager of Nature Glenelg Trust, and one of the finalists.